The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. The RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
How many of those games did you feel like the Rockets were the better team?
The first one for sure. The second one probably, but debatable. I don't think they were anywhere close to the best team on Friday night, and they still had a chance to win at the end.
I'm going to go with one. The rest of the series, it's just felt like Oklahoma City's gotten out in front and just found a way to step on their own cranks and give it away.
That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is if James Harden could nail a three at the end of the game Friday, the series is over. Texans obviously need quarterback, offensive tackle.
The problem with the classes being so thin, other teams are going to have to reach too. So the likelihood that those guys make it that far, like I've heard Deshaun Watson may, you know, maybe make it to 25.
I could see the quarterbacks and the tackles being gone at 25.
That's why the Texans, that's why Patrick Mahomes, his stock is going up, because that's going to be the best guy available, at least according to most people, when the Texans pick. Patrick Mahomes is a third, fourth round guy.
I agree.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at John Snow with a zero, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. Hopefully everybody's having a great one. Do you see this knucklehead Cowboys player who got the potato chip tattooed on his shoulder?
No.
Cornerback Anthony Brown got an actual tattoo of a Ruffles potato chip.
What flavor? Do we know?
It's hard to tell. I'm guessing it's normal flavor.
Regular?
Yeah. Mm. But he later deleted the post in which he showed it off to the world after apparently getting laughed at by everyone, which he should have been laughed at. That's an embarrassment. That probably should have gone a dumbass report.
At least get like a Dorito.
Yeah. If you're going to put a chip there, make it something that...
I mean, listen, if you're really into Ruffles and you get that tattoo, that's one thing. But if you post it to Instagram or Twitter or wherever,
and
people are going to laugh at that.
And
you
they
got
should.
A tattoo of a chip.
It's embarrassing.
My friend Cody has a, he has like his favorite, like a taco plate. It's got like two tacos and rice and beans. He's got a tattoo of that.
Okay, if that's your favorite dish.
Is that better or worse than a
potato
chip?
I think that's better, because I mean, the whole, oh, I got a chip on my shoulder. Yeah, we get it. Yeah.
I like just a taco plate on your leg better than that.
Yeah, I think I'd go for the taco plate on my leg.
Yeah. At least that's like a, you know, a full meal.
Exactly. Exactly. If you're really hungry.
Right.
And what does that chip do for you? Just one. Andy said, went to Coors Field this weekend. Cool place to watch a game, drink a beer, and watch the sunset.
I've heard that.
Yeah, it is. As far as wants to know what our favorite parks are, I still like the one in Baltimore. It was kind of sort of like quirky, like Minute Maid. It was the first one.
Yeah.
I like that park. I've yet to go to the one in San Francisco.
I haven't either.
The new one.
That's probably the top of my list of ones I'd like to try. Although I've never been to Fenway either, and that's probably
I've been there. That's the experience there. It's like Wrigley's. It's one of those places you have to go. D said, if you're going to get a chip, make it a poker chip.
Yeah,
that'd be okay if you're going to get a chip on your shoulder. But all right,
Safeco is a cool one for me that I've been to.
Yeah, yeah,
and you know, people don't like to people around here won't like it, but I like the Ranger Stadium.
Getting a new one, though.
Yeah, but like, I thought when it was built, it looked so cool
because
they did it like sort of an old-style look, especially compared to what they had. Their old stadium was like one of the regular cookie-cutter, you know, cement piles, and their new stadium was really pretty, and they're already getting a new one. But
yeah, the only negative to that stadium is, boy, if you go in friggin' July or August, you bake.
It is brutal.
But it's a terrific stadium. I've always liked it, and good for them to get another one. Okay, so I promised you some non-sportsy stuff.
Okay.
I have a story of the 9 cities in America with the least attractive people.
Okay.
This is a ongoing poll that they did for several days on travelandleisure.com. And I will give you the name of the city. You tell me whether you agree with the ranking or not.
Okay. What, this is a ranking of what again?
The most unattractive cities for or unattractive people.
Okay.
Based on cities. Okay?
Okay.
Number 9 on their list is Memphis, Tennessee.
I will say Memphis is, as someone who lived in Tennessee, the further west you got,
yeah,
the worse things got.
I would tend to agree.
That was a east to west, great to not great. I don't know if it warrants being in the top 10 overall, though.
Well, yeah, there's still some attractive people there, but there's also a lot of really fat people.
Yeah.
So, okay, this one kind of surprised me at number 8.
Now, these are just women?
No,
or
this is women and men.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, men in Tennessee are generally pretty ugly.
Yeah, yeah.
And, again, it goes east to west. The closer you get to Arkansas.
That's the main thing for you to say.
I know.
It's accurate, though.
It's getting out of control.
Surprised to see this on the list, although I think the male end of things definitely brings the city down. Atlanta.
Yeah, I would think Atlanta's got a lot of hot chicks.
Yeah, I'm going to go with I don't think that should be on there.
Yeah, that's surprising to me.
This one doesn't really surprise me when you compare it to the other cities in Florida. Tampa.
No, that's not a surprise.
Yeah, number 7 on the list. Notice no, I don't think there's any Texas cities on here.
Also, no Midwest cities yet, which that's well, like kind of the strength.
But now we're getting to the top 6.
That's the stronghold of ugly people, isn't
and
it?
And that's where we get to number 6, Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, now we're rolling.
Now we're into the meat, as it were.
Yeah.
The beef. Speaking
the
of
beef
which.
Beef and cheese.
Number 5, the city that brought us Joel Blank, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
There we go.
So, I'm a little surprised by this one. Number 4, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, I'm gonna veto that one.
Yeah, I'm going to as well because North Carolina is very, very strong. Here's one that you'll know more about than me. I don't think I've been there. Number 3, Spokane, Washington.
Listen, there's some really pretty girls in the Pacific Northwest, but there's also some girls who, it's a low effort. Type of place.
So a lot of armpit hair.
Exactly.
The same thing with the guys, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
All right, so Spokane, number 3. Number 2, Sacramento, California. Of all the California cities, I could see that one being
yeah.
on there.
California is another one. Like, Tennessee goes east to west.
Yeah.
Sacramento goes south to north.
Or California. Yeah.
California does. So the further south, the better.
Right.
And it's great down there. San Diego, you get down. I mean, that's good.
San Diego, La Jolla, Del Mar.
There's good looking people down there.
Oh, yeah.
The further north you get, the worse it gets. You get up around Bakersfield, you got people missing important teeth, like key teeth.
And, yeah, San Diego, there's 5s there that would be 10s anywhere else on the planet. Number 1 on the list, and not going to disagree with this one either. Baltimore, Maryland.
That's the champion. I've never been to Baltimore.
Really? I used to go every year for the Preakness.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's, I have to say, not high quality on either side.
Okay.
Male or female.
Yeah, I've never thought of that as a place where I would think the women are very pretty.
Mm.
Most of my Baltimore experience comes from The Wire, and there's not a lot of pretty people on The Wire.
No, but the thing about it is, now, during the Preakness, and I assume it's still just as wild as it used to be, I remember the first time I covered the Preakness, and a friend of mine who comes on the show sometimes, Derby Week, we'll have to get him on, John Scheinman, says, he's from there, and he says, I guarantee you, if I give you these binoculars, within 15 seconds, you'll see somebody having sex in the infield.
Yeah.
And I go, no, no way. 5 seconds. And not really who you want to see having sex out there. One of those where you're like, okay, I can't.
You would have rather seen the horses?
Yeah, I'd have rather seen the horses having sex than these two. They certainly were thinner. But, yeah, so, I mean, they're wild, but not attractive people. So, D says Atlanta has hot chicks, but their guys wouldn't know it. J-Rap, I was born and raised in Charlotte. Tough to hear it made the top five, although I did leave 5 years ago, so that's... Oh, so it's on you.
He thinks it's gone downhill.
Yeah. All right. We are going to take a quick break. We'll get some phone calls when we come back on the HRMP listener line. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
To the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Anxious about the recent election and the impact on your business? Let HRNP help you navigate through the uncertainty. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, 713-780. ESPN is your number. Mont says the prettiest thing in Baltimore is the crab cakes.
Oh, yeah, I love them.
Well,
the crab cake, that's hard to beat.
Yeah, the crab cakes are fantastic, but I went there 1 year, and my buddy was saying, I'm taking you to the best crab place in the world. I'm like, dude, that's kind of a bold statement because I grew up in Galveston. Our crab game is pretty strong. So he takes me to O'Bricky's, which is their big crab place. And I'm like, okay, you know, we'll see. We'll see who has the best crabs. And we go in and sit down. And the first thing the waitress says is, just want to let you guys know that the crabs are not in season right now, but we flew these in fresh today from Texas.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, yeah, I think I win that one. In fact, we were probably on the same airplane.
Damn.
All right, let's... I mean, to be fair, they were fantastic. I mean,
yeah.
And they made some great dishes there. It was an amazing place, but I just thought that was funny. Jace, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir, on the HRMP listener line.
What's going on, sports?
Sports to you.
Hey, I got a question, y'all. Just before I say that, I just want to let y'all know y'all are the best radio show on the air. I like Mike and Mike, but you guys keep it real, so keep it always 100% real and don't change. Y'all are better than Mike and Mike, in my opinion.
Thanks, man.
The second
You're the
thing
best
I want
listener
to say is,
we've had today.
What, sir?
You're the best listener we've had today.
Oh, thank you, sir. My question to y'all is, what do y'all, everybody analyzes and analyzes the draft and everything like that, and we always get these where we consider busts and everything else like that, but what do y'all consider a true bust? Is it a guy that has all the key qualities on a team that they know he can succeed, or is it a bust where a good guy goes to like a Cleveland Browns? Even Tom Brady could go to Cleveland Browns and not be successful and be considered a bust. So I want to get your guys' take on what y'all consider a true bust, where a guy may have the key components and can't do it on a team that they know they can succeed, or is it really a bust if someone goes to a terrible team and then ends up not being successful because the team is terrible?
Before you hang up, let me ask you this. Do you think Andrew Luck's a bust?
I think he's kind of like Peyton Manning. I think the organization is a bust. Peyton Manning went 3-13 his first year and then went 13-3 and never had a losing record after his first season. Right. I think Andrew Luck is carrying the team just like Peyton Manning.
I think that's kind of my point being, when you said Tom Brady could go to the Browns and would still be a disaster, I don't agree with that. I think that there are certain players, like I think Aaron Rodgers, if Aaron Rodgers got traded to the Browns tomorrow, the Packers would be a disaster and the Browns would be at least in the playoff hunt. I really think that there's certain players who can make that big of an impact. But what I look at as a bust is did the guy perform to the expectations of where his draft slot was? So if you take a guy number one overall, I have like, and I don't know if it's necessarily measurable, but I have in my mind, I have some like a certain thing that he should be. And if he doesn't meet that, I would consider, and there's different levels of busts, obviously. There's people around here who think Mario Williams was a bust, which I'll never understand it. Mario Williams is a hell of a player, but there's busts relative to where they went, and then there's just full blown disastrous busts. You know, there's like Jamarcus Russell doesn't even belong in the NFL.
Akili Smith is a bust,
right? By any measurement,
if you go in the top five of the draft and are out of the league within 3 years, you're a bust. There's just no way around it. And I think, depending on some of these other guys, like Johnny Manziel went 22nd overall, have to consider him a bust.
No doubt.
Now
there are guys, and a guy that comes to mind, a first-round draft pick, Patrick Ramsey. Well, he was a first-round quarterback.
Right, but he went...
He went late in the first round. Right. But I'm just thinking, I was trying to think of a first-round quarterback who... He didn't play like he was a first round draft pick, but dude had a pretty success. I mean,
it's hard to call him around a lot. It's hard to call him a bust.
But that dude played in the NFL for 8-9 years. That's to me, I don't consider him a bust.
And if you take a guy late in the first round, you're not anticipating that he's going to be a superstar,
right?
You're figuring that he might be a stopgap quarterback for you for a while, and maybe you get lucky. But I would say. That's all part of it, but I do think where you go matters. And it's not so much you automatically go to Cleveland, you're going to fail. I think part of that comes with the player evaluation. But to this day, I think had David Carr landed in a different situation where he wasn't expected to be the face of an expansion team that had one of the worst offensive lines in the history of the NFL, I think that guy might have developed into a player.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of players like that that just get in awful situations and never really get the chance. And that's if Russell Wilson had gone to Cleveland, for instance, do I think he would have been the success that he's become in Seattle? Probably not, because he walked into a team that had really good players around him, had a great running game, and a good offensive line at the time. And now he's developed into a much better player than he was in the beginning. But same thing with Dak Prescott. He walked into a really good situation last year. If he had been playing for Jacksonville, would he have done as much?
Probably not.
Probably not. So it is a combination of those things, and you try to take that into account. But, you know, realistically, I think...
Well, let me ask you about two players.
Okay.
That both went number one overall. Both have had... I mean, one of them is going on like a 14, 15-year NFL career, but probably has never lived up to being the number one overall pick. Would you consider Carson Palmer a bust?
No, I wouldn't consider him a bust.
And now, because he's had
a long, effective career, and
it may be a disappointment as the number one pick, maybe, but not a bust, right?
Right, definitely not a bust.
And there are guys. Alex Smith is a great example of this. You ask most 49ers fans, they'll say Alex Smith was a bust because most of the time Alex Smith was in San Francisco, he was never worthy of being that pick. First of all, he was a borderline NFL starter. And then he got away from there, and he's actually kind of his second life in Kansas City has actually made him a pretty decent player.
Yeah.
So he's probably saved himself from being any kind of a real bust. Do you consider Sam Bradford a bust at this point?
This is
his seventh year he's going into.
I would have to say yes, because I think the other two guys have had some success in the league and have proven to be starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Bradford really hasn't.
Okay.
He had that 1 year with the Rams where it looked like he was about to bust out, and then he got hurt.
But then there are guys that, like Mark Sanchez, went fifth overall. He's a bust.
Yeah.
He's still in the league.
Right,
and he got drafted in 2009, but he's still a bust as a top five pick. Robert Griffin III is a bust. That guy was the second pick in the draft. He's never performed close to being worth that.
Well, he did his first year.
Okay,
got him to the playoffs, and then he got hurt, and he hasn't been the same since.
But that's a bust.
One year out of a guy is not enough for a number two pick. John asks, is Tannehill a bust? I'm going to go no. I mean,
he's a mid-first rounder.
Right.
Didn't
he go eighth?
Oh, maybe he did go a little higher than I'm thinking. I was thinking he was going like in the teens, but you might be right. He's still a functional NFL player. I think he kind of goes, and he's not as good as Carson Palmer, but he kind of falls into that same category. If you've got a functioning NFL career, it's hard to call you a total bust, right?
Yeah.
And plus, he's still with the team that drafted him.
And he got him to the playoffs. Look at the money he made. How are you calling Bradford a bust? A lot of guys make money. Jamarcus Russell made a lot of money. Yeah. The money has nothing to do with it.
When you get picked in the top five, especially if you pick number one overall, you make money. And then if you don't perform up to the standards of that contract, that's when people call you a bust.
And that's the point Blair made on here, which I think is great. I think with Bradford, you have to consider his contracts as well. Never lived up once to that rookie money before the CBA change.
Nope.
So, yeah, I think because of that money, he's an even bigger bust.
I've always wondered what would have happened if Aaron Rodgers went first. Because when you look at Alex Smith's career in San Francisco, he played for 3 head coaches, 7 offense coordinators, 6 quarterback coaches, 7 if you count Pep Hamilton. I always wondered, because Aaron Rodgers got to sit behind Brett Favre for a very long time, and Alex Smith just kind of got thrown in there. I would think San Francisco would have done better with Aaron Rodgers over Alex Smith, but I don't know how much better.
I don't know either. If Aaron Rodgers would have been forced to start year one, I don't know what he would have been. And what's funny is that draft specifically, if you go through like the first several picks, very few of those guys lived up to where they were taken in the draft. Alex Smith went 1. Ronnie Brown went 2. Braylon Edwards went 3. Cedric Benson went 4.
Jeez.
Cadillac Williams 5. Really, the first guy you get to that's like, this guy's had a legit, really solid NFL career, Pac-Man Jones went 6.
Wow.
And Pac-Man Jones has not been a bust, no. Believe it or not. Troy Williamson went 7th. He was a disaster.
Yeah.
Mike Williams went to from USC. The receiver went to
I thought he was going to be great, and he was a disaster.
I mean, that's a draft full of kind of disappointment. And Aaron Rodgers went 24.
Yeah,
Roddy White went 27. You know, it's funny the way that works out. That, you know, sometimes you go through a bunch of these, those running backs that I mentioned at the beginning, the Ronnie Brown, Cadillac Williams, Cedric Benson, all going in the top 5. Frank Gore went in the 3rd round.
Mm.
You know, had a full, I mean, hell, there's people who talk about Frank Gore being a Hall of Famer.
Nah, not a chance, but he's had a damn good career.
But he's done a lot more than the 3 of those guys combined did.
Yep.
So it's always interesting to see how that works out, but yeah,
a couple other names that we'll do when we come back that I think I'm going to go no bust on, but we'll get your opinion when we come back from this break.
What am I doing here, John? My computer career. Are you disgruntled at work? Are you a disgruntled employee? Because apparently over half of Americans are disgruntled employees. If that's describing you, see if the computer industry is right for you. Maybe you're spending time out in the heat or the rain, or you got a job where you're scraping maggots out of garbage trucks. That's not great. And you want something new. My computer career could be for you. Go to mycomputercareer.edu, take the free career evaluation today, and see if you could start your new life as an IT pro. And it takes months, not years, even with zero experience. You attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week, and you'll get the skills and industry certifications you need to start your new career. My Computer Career is nationally accredited. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start up soon, so go take the free career evaluation now at mycomputercareer.edu. That's mycomputercareer.edu.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN, if you wish to get in on the HRMP listener line. All right, two names that texters threw out here. Matthew Stafford.
Not a bust.
I kind of put him in the Carson Palmer category.
Yeah, did he live up to the being the number one overall pick? Probably not. But
he's pretty much been their starter from day one.
And there's the Lions are. You would think they've got to be happy with what they've gotten out of him. I mean, they haven't been close to a championship contender, but
they made the playoffs a couple times. And
yeah, he's better than anything they've had in damn near the history of their team. So you want to go back to like leather helmet Bobby Lane days.
Scott Mitchell.
Right. I mean, he's not an elite quarterback, but I don't think there's anyone with any football sense who would list 20 quarterbacks better than him in the NFL.
Yeah.
And if you've got one of the 20 best guys, it means you're not desperately searching for some scrap heap guy. You're probably pretty happy. And if you've got to use the first pick to get one of the 20 best quarterbacks, and 20 is probably being a little tight. I think he's in the top half of starting NFL quarterbacks in the league. So I don't think you can call him a bust.
My first thought is yes, but when I think about it, maybe not. Vince Young.
Yes, he's a bust.
Got him to the playoffs. Had two pretty good seasons for him.
Again, this boils down to where you land.
If you had taken him 22nd, you wouldn't be calling him a bust.
No,
because
it'd be a forgettable career. But for where he went, that's a bust. Because I mean, he burned out of the NFL so fast.
And
when you think about what that Titans team was that went to the playoffs, that was a defensive football team that had outstanding running backs.
It had an outstanding running game, which he contributed to.
Yes. But would the Titans have not made the playoffs if they didn't have Vince Young? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either.
It's not like he was leading that team to glory.
No, but it's not like he was just a joke from the beginning, like a lot of these guys.
No.
It's probably closer to RG3 in that he
had a promising start, and then it got derailed, and he was never able to get back on track. But I would say Vince Young, yes, is an NFL bust.
Okay. Let's squeeze in a call. Benny. What's up, Benny?
Yeah, I was talking about Frank Gore. Did you say no way on Frank Gore Hall of Fame?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Man, he's number 8 all time leading rusher. I think so.
What's he ever won? I mean, that's the thing. These Hall of Fame guys, they want you to have won something. And he's also, considering how bad his knee was when he came in the league, it's amazing how long he's been able to go.
Well, and he's still going.
Yeah. But, I mean, if he were to have another really good season and the Colts were to make a run to a Super Bowl, then I might start listening to the argument.
Here's what I'll say. If this season he runs well enough, if he's got 1,000 yards left in him, it's gonna be tough to deny him, because once he gets 1,000 yards from now, that's gonna put him into 14,000, which at that point the only guys with more rushing yards than him will be Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton, Barry Sanders, and Curtis Martin. And Curtis Martin is sort of the standard for guys who didn't do a damn thing except run for a lot of yards.
Right, and last forever, too.
That's
another guy who lasted a long time.
And if Frank Gore ends up with Curtis Martin-type numbers, might be hard to tell that guy no. You know? And realistically, think about this, Fred. Would you say, I will say this is different, because this guy at one point, Frank Gore was, no one ever thought Frank Gore was the best back in the league.
Right. And that's
there's something to be said for that. But
that's part of my standard, is at any point was he the best running back in the league?
Because Adrian Peterson's a good way behind Frank Gore statistically. Adrian Peterson's a no doubt Hall of Famer, right?
I still think he's got a few things to accomplish.
Okay.
But
I mean, I think Adrian Peterson having a career where for, I mean, I'd say 7 of the 10 years he was in the league, he's the best running back in the league.
He has a, he has a better case than Frank Gore does, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But, and part of that is, Frank Gore was only on a couple of teams that were any good.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem. And you know, the most he ever rushed for, he had the 1,695 yards his second year in the league. He's never been over 1,120 or over 1,200 twice, but that's it. I mean, he hasn't had another year like that his entire career.
And, I'll,
and that's just solid production, but that's not Hall of Fame production, in my opinion.
LaDainian Tomlinson's another guy. And again, LaDainian Tomlinson falls into the category of guys who at one point he was the best running back in the league. But LaDainian Tomlinson never won anything. Never even got close, really.
Well, there were a couple of those teams that at least made playoff runs. 281, what's he ever won? That's your reason RB is not an HOFer? What the hell? Ha, ha, ha. I think we've explained this to you, how these guys vote, many, many times. And that's a big part of it. If he has those numbers and won a Super Bowl and had a big game in the Super Bowl, we're not even having the discussion.
Probably not.
But he didn't win one. And that is a big factor. You have to be a winner in addition to – now, he's a good quality guy in the locker room too, which they like, so that helps him. But he was never – to me, he was never the best running back in the league. And my standard for the Hall of Fame is a hell of a lot higher. It's nice that if you compile a bunch of stats because you hung around for 12 years and you were effective. To me, if you weren't the best player at your position at some point in your career, especially if you were around that long – not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Not in my mind. Steven, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I wanted to retouch the NFL draft bus at quarterback. I know I'm beating a dead horse, but Tim Tebow never got his fair shake. He's been a winner at every level, and the quarterbacks that came out in that draft class with him, he's better than. I can name 20 quarterbacks that are on a roster currently that he's better than. I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Well, listen, Tim Tebow is not a starting quarterback in this league, and Tim Tebow brought along a media circus that nobody wants to have with their backup quarterback. And is Tim Tebow better than some players in the league? I would say probably so, but they don't come along with a bunch of hubbub, and no one's looking for media attention with their backup quarterback. That's the worst position to have media attention.
And he's another guy you have to change your offense for.
Yeah. Everything has to be specialized to him. I disagree that he didn't get a fair shake. And when you – this again, it goes back to really the eye test of Tim Tebow. When you watch Tim Tebow, you realize that this is – whatever they're doing here, this is not a long-term answer at the quarterback position in the NFL. It's not going to work long-term. And even the year that he won in Denver, he fumbled the ball double-digit times. I mean, ball security was an issue with him. He's not an accurate passer. In fact, the year that they won the Super Bowl, he was like a 46% completion guy. That's, by NFL standards, that's horrendous.
Monas, here's one for you guys, and remove 2013 from your head. Is Matt Schaub a bust? Not at all.
No,
they got everything you could expect for giving up a couple second round picks.
Yeah, Matt Schaub, for what the Texans gave for him, I'm assuming that's what you mean. You know, was he a bust in that sense? No way. The Texans got their money's worth for sure.
All right. Yeah, I honestly, man, I don't. There's not an argument left to be made for Tebow, so. Let's.
He did hit a home run last week.
He did. Good luck with that. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Count it days till it's over, my friends. Till it's over, my friends. Count along. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Nexen Tire, the leading warranty in the tire industry. Exclusive free roadside assistance. Got a flat tire? Nexen will change your tire or tow your vehicle for free. Fastest growing tire brand trusted by automotive manufacturers. Check out Nexen Tire on the web to learn more at nexentireusa.com. I was just kind of going back and looking at some of LaDainian Tomlinson versus Frank Gore.
No, it boils down to, in my opinion, at some point, LaDainian Tomlinson was not only the best running back in the league, arguably the best player in the league. That's a different conversation altogether.
Yeah, and plus, we were talking about this off air. People forget what a great receiver Tomlinson was. He had a year where he had 100 receptions. My goodness. All right, let's do the... let's do the dumbass report.
All right, let's start with a man who... This guy lived above a public toilet for years.
It's a really crappy place to live.
3 years, in fact. An electrician contracted by the municipal government of Usuki, this is in Japan, to service their public restrooms, was startled when he saw a human-shaped shadow while installing a light. The contractor contacted the city, which then sent some officials and police to the bathroom located in a park. They opened a 50-square-centimeter service hatch, which allowed access to the wiring as well as the triangular attic above. Upon entering, they found that the entire 92-square-meter, which is about just under 1,000-square-foot crawl space, was surprisingly well-furnished with a space heater, gas stove, magazines, and various clothes. Although the attic was only large enough to stand up in the center, everything was surprisingly clean and well-organized, and right there in the middle of it all was the resident, an unidentified upper middle-aged man standing in front of them. After taking him into custody, they discovered he was 54-year-old Takashi Yamamuchi. He told police he had left his home 10 years ago and drifted from place to place till he found this bathroom. The weirdest thing about the whole thing, in his attic there were 300 plastic bottles of both the 2-liter and 500 milliliter, which are like 17 ounces. They were all neatly organized and full of his urine. I'm not sure. I mean, you live right above the toilet. Just open the hatch and let it go, right?
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah, but he got hit with trespassing charges. And, maybe prison is an improvement over living above the toilet. I don't know. I'm not sure. This is one way you know that you went too long without mowing your grass. Police in Ohio say a 14-year-old girl was mowing the grass at her grandfather's apartment building when she stumbled upon a man dead of an apparent overdose. That's sign number one. You should have mowed a couple weeks ago if there's people ODing in your yard. Medics arrived, pronounced the man dead, identified as 25-year-old Cody Couch. He was one of two people to die of apparent overdoses in a 24-hour span. Two others were revived by medics, but he was too far gone, apparently, in this case. Here's a Florida story. A Florida middle school teacher is facing several charges after police say she drove drunk, caused a crash, and when she was pulled over, she said, "I want to kiss you," to the cop.
Interesting.
And she said, "If you don't stop looking at me like that, I'm going to kiss you." Trooper said she was driving with her 10-year-old son, imagine how embarrassing that is for the 10-year-old son. She wasn't the driver. She had to use the bathroom, is what she said. But as she goes through sobriety tests in the video, she's got slurred speech. She was arrested, and she kicked one of the cops in the groin. So first she was going to kiss him, then decided kicking in the groin was the better move. So
full, same ballpark.
Full DUI charges, the whole nine yards. And finally, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, police arrested a man after a traffic stop on I-10. An officer spotted 36-year-old Cyrus Antoine drifting back and forth across multiple lanes at around 2 a.m. on Saturday. He also had no license plates on his vehicle, and he was traveling with large amounts of marijuana and Xanax. And when he got pulled over, he tried to eat as much of it as possible.
That's not going to go well.
No. After recovering the evidence, Antoine admitted to police that he was trying to eat all the marijuana so police wouldn't find any when he was pulled over. But they're saying this was like the kind of amount that you weren't going to hide. This wasn't like a little baggie full.
Right.
This was, but like several charges pending for the man. But that's a dumbass report for this week, Fred.
All right. No shortage of dumbasses.
As there usually isn't.
All right. That's going to wrap it up. Pretty good Monday. Almost everybody was in a solid mood today. Most of the textures. There were a few. HD Show, Fred Davis, and All-Pro Henry Thomas coming up at 7 o'clock. Be back tomorrow with more fun and frivolity. Talk a little more about the NBA and everything else that's happening.
More NFL draft talk, I'm sure.
Indeed, because it's almost here. Want to thank John Lee. Great job. AJ Hoffman, great job. Give myself a solid D-plus today.
What's coming up next, John?
The HD Show.
HD Show. Okay, I didn't hear
you. Yeah, all right. Till tomorrow, stay sports, you bitches. There's no blood, there's no alibi, 'cause I've drawn regret from the truth of a thousand lies. So let mercy come. ESPN 97.5.